You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you, Mike McNamara, for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're doing good. Somebody just asked me, Mac, what's the latest on the chef? I'll have to get an update. For those of you who didn't hear, the chef had a little bit of a heart procedure, and so he won't be joining us for a few weeks as he recovers. But that surgery was Monday. And he was doing good on Tuesday. And so we'll see. We shall see. So, yeah. Let me tell you about my day yesterday, and let me tell you about the cool part about post-traumatic winning. So I shared an email yesterday that I got at 5:11 yesterday. 5:11 in the morning, and essentially saying that I walked into your presentation in January, and I was still hungover. I've been struggling with an alcohol problem, and I walked into the theater at Cherry Point, and I was sitting in the back. I asked a friend, how long is this thing? And he said, it's a couple hours. And I was like, shit, a couple hours of this stuff? So from the time you started talking, you had my attention, even though I was hungover because of what you said. And I think what I said was, I'm going to tell you the truth, and if you don't like it, I don't give a fuck. So that's part of the truth. And that I'm reaching out because I need help. I want to change, so what you did left a huge impression on me. So that starts my day. At 1:00 in the afternoon, I got a text message telling me that somebody in a unit had committed suicide. Now, I didn't know the person, just wanted me to be aware of it. At 3:00 in the afternoon, got a call from a Marine officer who had left me a message on my business line saying that he was getting ready to deploy. He had a Marine who just got out who was really struggling. Could I help? And I got the message, and I thought I missed him. And so I called, and I said, "Hey, man, I'm really sorry that I didn't see this message, you know, for a couple days. I hope you're not gone. Please call me." And so he did. Called me yesterday. And so we're going to turn that into a win, no doubt in my mind. And then I got a call last night from somebody, a battalion commander, telling me about sitting in post-traumatic winning with his Marines. And he said, you know, about half the Marines I was there with came up to me afterwards and said how impactful it was on them, and thank you for bringing us today. And so he said, look, I wanted to reach out because I have somebody I could use your help with. And I said, look, man, whatever I can do. And he said, you know, this Marine had lost a child. And in their home had lost a child, right? And so, you know, I said, if you can talk to them and say, hey, this guy had a huge impact on me and I want you to just speak to him, I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. And so I wanted to start the show today with those thoughts, because you might look at that and say, wow, what an incredible day. I mean, but you know what? Let me tell you, three of those four experiences that I had yesterday are going to be joyful experiences, right? And they all reached out to me because they know I can make a difference. They know post-traumatic winning makes a difference. And I mean, obviously you all, because you listen, you understand, I mean, the joy in that and the addictive drug that is, and that I know, right? I know that all those people that reached out for help, every one of them is going to have their life changed. And they in turn are going to go out and change other people's lives. And I reached out to some people last night and I shared my day with them. And they're people that are helping, that are trying to take not all Marine Radio, but post-traumatic winning to another level. And I said, look, this was my day today. And the response was, you know, one, how do you decompress? And my response to that was, I don't need to. I mean, that's joy all waiting to happen. I mean, you know, yeah, there's trauma in there, but I know what's waiting for those people. And it's not daunting. It's motivating. It's exciting. It's that these people who live in blackness now are headed through the clouds and into the sun. And if you haven't seen the video that I made on that's posted on the website, this is exactly what I talk about. So if you haven't, if you go to the All Marine Radio webpage, the website, all right, and if you go to videos and click on that, there's a tab that says videos. The second video, so if it's on your phone, it'll be number two from the top. If it's on your computer, it'll be the second one from the left on the top. It says video, post-traumatic winning. Simply enduring it after trauma enters your life isn't good enough. Watch this. And it's a video I made. I love it too. You can hear the audio here. Yeah. So it's a plane chugging through the... It's a plane chugging through the... hold on, let me pause it. It's a plane, it's a Cessna chugging through a storm. I think the actual video is taken in the Adriatic near the Greek coast. All right. And so I'll read you the subtitles. All right. Life after traumatic events is different, harder. Therapy teaches us to endure trauma's aftermath, to pilot our plane through the storm. Post-traumatic winning believes in transformation. You'll learn how to install a new joystick in your airplane. How to pull back on the joystick. Go through the turbulence to a beautiful place, a joyful place, a place that you don't know exists right now. But it's there, as sure as your ass is watching this. A place where joy outnumbers trauma, a place where joy overwhelms trauma. You'll learn to go there. To take other people there. To look at the gauges of your life. To course correct. Staying above the post-traumatic turbulence in life. Post-traumatic winning lives there. Want to go? Yeah. So, you know, every one of those things is an opportunity. So, and what motivates me now is I need a larger platform to impact all these medical workers. You know, the case of that emergency room doctor who worked in New York City, who took her life this past week in Virginia while she was staying with her family, and heartbreaking. Right? All she saw was the blackness. And so, again, what post-traumatic winning does is it shows you a path. Shows you a path. And so I just want to encourage everybody, if you know a health worker, right, if you know somebody, don't be afraid to say, hey, that's working through all this. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I have something for you. Okay? I have something for you. It's called post-traumatic winning. And what it does is it shows you a path, right, to change trauma to joy. Now, that should be a significant enough hook for you. Normally it is, right? Normally it is. It comes from combat veterans. It comes from people that have lived through a lot of trauma. And it's no bullshit. And if you want to go there, right, as the Pointer Sisters say, I'll take you there. And no, it's a gift, man. And you can do that. And then when I shared it with some people that were, you know, that are trying to help me take this to a different place, the email I got, one of the emails I got back was, how do you do this? How do you decompress? And my response was, from what? I know every one of those stories is going to turn out good. I know it. Because the path is going to be, I learn how to convert my trauma, right? And it's not really convert. I learn how to overwhelm my trauma with joy. And that joy sustains me. And then once I begin to change the lives of other people, I become their shepherd. And once I become a shepherd, then I've got no choice, man. I've got a flock. I got to help. I got to take care of them. And this all is so important, especially for people who serve. And so, you know, if it applies to the military, hello, it might apply to doctors and nurses, right? And other first responders. So that's why I'm like running in place. Like somebody put me in. And so anyway, my day a little bit yesterday. And I just want to encourage everybody, reach out to people. Reach out to people that are struggling. Reach out and say, hey, man, I've got a tool for you. I want to show it to you. I want to take you there. And show them that little video. I mean, just there's some things. The video, I should take an image. There's an image I'll put in this post. have to write myself a note, right? The image is the above the clouds image that I show. And I talk about, this is where I live, okay? And I'm not supposed to be able to live there. And, you know, it's not turbulent free, but, I mean, I would have never thought that I could live at this place. And it's a dude standing on top of a mountain. Yeah. And he's kind of looking down, like, and there's clouds and there's green below him. And he's got his arms folded like he's a badass or something, which is really insignificant. What I see is the picture, right? Living like in that place, in that good, elevated, high place. And then I say when I show the picture, I say, you know, but the reality is even better because you're up there with your friends and the people that you've helped and all of that. And so the reality of living a life that embraces post-traumatic winning is better than the picture, right? Because there's a whole bunch of people up there with you. So, yeah. I just wanted to bring that up. I also built a doggy door yesterday. And it's multi-purpose doggy door. One is to keep mosquitoes out. So because I have two dogs, the door tends to stay open. Well, in the summer, you know, mosquitoes show up, and Colleen doesn't handle them very well. Yeah, she looks like she has chicken pox, for God's sakes. So anyway, I thought, well, let me build a door, and that way I can screen half the upper two-thirds of the door I can screen, and then I'll put that clear strip stuff and the dogs will learn to go in and out of that. And so step one was the screen and the frame and that the dogs would actually go through it with nothing over it and that they would be afraid. So that they so that happened. Yeah, that happened yesterday. So it was a little touch and go. And there's some cosmetic issues with it, but that's why God created molding, right? Not every corner is 90 degrees in the house, and not every corner, they're pretty close to 90 degrees. So I did that yesterday. Learned how to rescreen stuff. And so I put that skill to use on that thing. And so Colleen and I, doing that. There's a story in the Associated Press this morning. And I don't know. Its byline is written a few days ago, but you know, there's been this controversy about data headline. Now this is the Associated Press. Report suggests many have had coronavirus with no symptoms. And what's interesting is it puts a chart up of the 50 states and, you know, 60 states have positive test rates over 9%. Okay, now that's multiples higher than anybody indicated. So, and the reason I say this is because I got an email a little bit ago that said, "Hey Mac, I'm a little behind in listening. Just finished the Tuesday morning show. I enjoyed the docs and wanted to listen to the rest. So I clicked on your link. Look what I got. This video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines." As you would say, holy fuck. The YouTube gods and thought police have determined that the two doctors are saying bad things and they are censoring them. Brilliant. And this is from Lou, who lives in New Jersey. P.S. The governor, Phil Murphy, is reopening the state parks this weekend until he sees people walking too close together, and he'll shut them down again, I'm sure. So anyway. So again, my point of following this is this story is that, you know, we're not comfortable. And the governor of California, can you imagine in a state as big geographically and diverse as California is, there's one set of rules in California. Everybody operating from, you know, Los Angeles to, you know, Eureka up by the Oregon border. Everybody operating under the same rules. I mean, it's stupid. He's afraid, right? He's afraid. And, you know, and you know, he's, you know, Gavin Newsom, man, he's Joe Slick, right? And he gets on TV and, you know, he tries to be composed and all this. But, I mean, this is the United States of America, right? Like, I don't get it. And he's afraid. He's afraid. And what everybody who's afraid says is, all I'm doing is following the science. No, they're hiding in science. And if they look at the data, and this is what caught my attention about the Associated Press article and this whole thing about data and what the data is saying. And let me find the article because I copied and pasted it. So let me just read you a couple of paragraphs from it. The head of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say 25% of infected people might not have symptoms. The vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General John Hyten, thinks that number might be as high as 60 to 70% among military personnel, which would make sense, right? Younger and healthier. So they would have, you know, they would have a much higher percentage of people that had it and just it went through and they developed what we now know to be called herd immunity, right? So the head of the CDC says 25% of infected people might not have symptoms, right? So you would think that they wouldn't have got tested, right? So whatever numbers that you have, add 25% to that. Pretty amazing, right? In the DOD, right, 60 to 70% of people would be asymptomatic. Now, here's the pushback. None of these numbers can be fully trusted because they're based on flawed and inadequate testing, said Dr. Michael Mina of Harvard School of Public Health. But here's the important thing, and this is what the Associated Press gets right. Collectively, though, they suggest, and this is him, okay? And this is, the important part of the article that public policy people don't really want to entertain yet. Collectively, though, they suggest we have been off the mark by huge, huge numbers for estimating total infection. Okay? And so, again, that comes from Dr. Michael Mina, Harvard School of Public Health. So while if you look at the data in the Associated Press article, and I'll post I'll post that link because it has a table, and the table has every state in the country, tests per 1,000 people. What is the negative rate? What is the positive rate? What is the positivity rate? Right. And so if you throw out the high and the lows, right, as we do in the Olympic diving competition and gymnastics and whatever else it gets judged. So we always throw out the Russian judges shit because why? Because Russians lie. Right. Russians lie. So that's there you go. It dwarfs all other. Right. All other rules to live by, right? Russians lie. So anyway, if you throw out the highs and the lows, right, what you're left with is still numbers that are hugely off the mark. And it's that trend that Dr. Mina talks about. So by any, you cannot wipe away the data by saying the test might be marginally flawed. It might give you a percentage of false positive. Okay. How do you explain the trend in all of the data, though? And then you get the Porky Pig thing, right? So anyway, now while they banned it on YouTube, the Associated Press is writing about it. So I wonder if the thought police can get there. Also in California, the governor's gonna send out an executive order that closes all the beaches in Southern California. Now, the good thing for the governor this weekend is that it's not supposed to be very nice here. It's going to be in the low 70s and a little bit cloudy, so it won't be the same weather it was last weekend. But at some point, right, people are going to get sick of this shit. This is the United States, right? And so what is the basis, of this quote-unquote statewide emergency that everybody's got to be treated the same? And it's bullshit. In fact, we'll check the news here in a second. Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny going to join me. So here in about 33 minutes. No, 38 minutes. Yeah, just so, just so I'm accurate. The AP article ends with this. Next steps. This is the final couple paragraphs. Antibody testing, in particular, needs to be done in an unbiased approach on groups of people that are representative of the demographic, social, racial, and other conditions, Dr. Mina said. The CDC and other groups plan such studies, and they could guide public health advice on returning to normal life for people in certain areas. If infections are more widespread than previously understood, it's possible that more people have developed some level of immunity to the virus. That could stifle the spread through what's called herd immunity. But scientists caution there's still much to learn about whether mild illnesses confer immunity and how long it lasts. It will probably be months before enough reliable testing has been done to answer those questions and others, including how widespread infections have been and the virus's true mortality rate, which has only been estimated so far. Quote, if they've all seen the virus before, then maybe you can relax in that neighborhood and ease social distancing, Mina said. We're not anywhere close to where we need to be on antibody testing to do that yet, he said. So again, what the public health people will always counsel is shut it down. How long can we shut the world down? How long can we shut the United States down? How long can you shut your community down? At some point, a politician's going to have to stand up and say, all right, I can't take this to zero without putting everybody out of work. And so we're not going to try. And are infection rates going to go up as we all go back to work? Are deaths are going to go up as we go back to work? How much they go up is going to be a function of, right, how seriously we take social distancing at work and those types of things. I hope everybody's smart enough to do this like adults, but we got to go to work. And that may get them unelected next time. But I think that it's not going to be an either-or proposition. And so we'll see who. It'll be interesting to watch as these politicians try to do dynamic decision making and are so uncomfortable with it because it can't be exactly like one size says. So, good morning to you. We'll check the news here in a few minutes. United States Marine Corps ban makes this morning official.
We'll be right back.
And this is dedicated to the people that reached out to me yesterday. I can't tell you how motivating that is for me, knowing that, you know, months ago when you sat through post-traumatic winning, that it would come back like it's coming back now, and it would be the weapon of choice in terms of can you help me help somebody? So thanks for taking that step. Thanks for saving somebody's life. And what you're going to put into motion is a series of steps that not only change that person's life, that will steps that will compel that person then to change other people's lives. And all that's set in motion now. I think it's one of the coolest things that happens, certainly in my life. And it's life-changing. So God bless you for doing it, right? And we'll get after it.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
That's why it's called post-traumatic winning, man. Yeah. Post-traumatic winning. All right, time to check the weather. It is raining in 60 in the Quantico area. It is raining in 70 in North Carolina, the home of 2nd Marine Division and the 2nd Marine Air Wing at Camp Lejeune and Cherry Point. It is sunny in 76 out in 29 Palms. It is cloudy in 64 at Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. It is dark cloudy in 71 at Camp Smith, dark in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 69 in Okinawa. In the southern part of Afghanistan, it is cloudy in 86 in Lashkar Gah in Helmand Province. And in Ramadi, It is partly sunny and 84 degrees. Here in Southern California, at the home of Allmarine Radio, cloudy and 64. The wind chill sits at 64. No. Looking for a high today of 74 degrees. Tomorrow, 74 with partly sunny skies. And on, I mean, you know, it's like, I didn't even know why they put that. It means like there's a cloud every 10 miles, so they say partly cloudy. That's bullshit. And on Saturday, sunny and 74. Uh-oh. Yeah, what happens if you defy the governor? All right. Let us look at your weather. When we come back, we will go ahead and we'll check the news. And then the Lynch and Kenny event starts in about, I can't remember, 28 minutes. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi.
I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Eight hours and 42 minutes after midnight here on the West Coast, which means it's 42 minutes after the hour wherever you are. Yeah. Now, if you want a snapshot on a daily basis of hysterical information, watch the governor of New York, okay? He goes on TV, right? 30,000 ventilators. What'd they use? 6,000? I mean, crazy shit. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's check the news. U.S. Army in Stuttgart calls for vigilance as two-week streak of no coronavirus infection ends. I mean, honestly, do you think it's going to go to zero? Yeah, probably not. I don't like stories like this. Air Force relieves logistics squadron commander in South Korea. Like, that's and all that's going on in the world, that's a story that, you know, give me a fucking break. Anyway, VA defends use of unproven drug on veterans for coronavirus. Again, this story is, you know, just has its own life. Again, so you're seeing a drug. I can't even, hydro, whatever the fuck it is. Hydrochloroquine. Anyway, you're seeing doctors say that, no, it saves people. Now, but just know this. When you go to the VA, normally they're elderly and they have no other health care, right? So, you know, there's not a ventilator's not saving that person. So when you say, yeah, it's been administered. So anyway, another story. Chinese carriers doing freedom of navigation acts. Sails between Okinawa Islands for the second time in April. And what happens? Free people, we just wave. Hey, how you doing? Look at the aircraft carrier, right? Sailing in international waters. Wow, that's really cool, right? That's really cool. We don't say, oh, you can't come here. So also from Stars and Stripes, coronavirus testing reveals dozens of cases at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego. So they shut down Parris Island. MCRD stayed open. Nearly 50 recruits and staffers have tested positive for the coronavirus at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego. The second outbreak to hit a Marine basic. It's like, okay, first of all, if people don't think it's in every organization, you're not paying attention. The cases at Marine Corps West Coast training base are among recruits in one unit, Bravo Company, and some of the company's drill instructors and staff. According to Captain Martin Harris. Last month, Marine Corps Base 29 Palms also had a few dozen cases. The recruits in Bravo Company arrived at the depot at the end of March, just as more restrictions were being established in response to COVID-19. The company is one of nine recruit companies currently on deck at the recruit depot. Brigadier General Ryan Heritage, the commanding general of the recruit depot, decided all of Bravo Company were to be tested to make sure every one of them is healthy before they go back to starting training, Harris said. Ryan Heritage, he's I went down and did post-traumatic wounding down there. He's a smart dude. He's the one who told me, hey, 1 hour a week, unplug your computer and leave it off. He was doing cyber stuff. I said, really? And he looked at me and said, take my word for it. I said, all right. All right. So anyway. Yeah, so they tested the company. The depot will next test two other companies now in quarantine, Echo and India, who are waiting for their training to begin. They will test all future recruits when they come aboard the depot, according to Harris. So, and then the last comment is, it seems like that will be the new norm. So there you have it. So that's going on down at MCRD in San Diego. The Navy's multinational Rim of the Pacific drills are a go for this summer, but they'll only be at sea. So Rim of the Pacific, an exercise that will run from August 27th through the 31st, according to a Navy statement, the biennial maritime exercise will be an at-sea-only event in light of the COVID-19. Conducting the exercise only at sea is intended to ensure the safety of participating forces by minimizing shore-based contingents. Commander U.S. Pacific Fleet crafted the modified RIMPAC plan as a way to conduct a meaningful exercise with maximum training value and minimum risk to the force, allies, and partners, and the people of Hawaii. So, anyway. But, hey, look, it's better than canceling it like the Marine Corps did to the PFT. From the website Just the News, which I've come to like, top of the fold headline, FBI notes detailed effort to catch Flynn in a lie to get him fired as a Trump advisor. And these are personal notes. These are personal notes. The FBI, man, are you kidding me? I don't know if you've seen this story, but it's pretty amazing. You see photo shots of the actual notes. A senior FBI official's handwritten notes from the earliest days of the Trump administration expressed concern that the Bureau might be, quote, playing games with the counterintelligence interview of then National Security Advisor Mike Flynn to get him to lie. So, quote, from the notes, quote, we can prosecute him or get him fired. The notes and other emails were provided by Flynn's lawyers under seal last week and released Wednesday night by court order, providing the most damning evidence to date of potential politicalization and misconduct inside the FBI during the Russian probe. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, reading this is like, what do you say? That conversation went on in the FBI. Why are we doing this? What are we doing here? So, anyway, so that from, yeah, it's called justthenews.com. And if you go to about us, you know, who they are, they'll tell you. This is what they say. Just the News is committed to just reporting facts from journalists with a long record of public trust and excellence. In an era where opinion and supposition are too often substituted for fact and where journalists rush to get things first and hope their stories are correct, justthenews.com tries to stand out by returning to the bedrock promise of getting news first, but first getting it right. We try to deliver exclusive news that you can trust. So I like it. I've become a fan. I also saw this. All right, here's a headline for all of you that have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Public broadcast, and then I would add my own parenthetical, over loudspeaker of the Ramadan call to prayer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, prompts debate among war veterans. Now, most of us, many of us, and more so in Iraq than Afghanistan, but because, you know, a lot of us were around cities. I mean, the call to prayer is not, right, something we grew up around. It's not something that we associate with anything positive. It occurs 5 times a day. Okay? It occurs 5 times a day. A Minneapolis mosque has begun broadcasting the Muslim call to prayer during Ramadan, marking the first such occurrence in a major American city and prompting responses from American service members who first heard the prayers in a wartime setting. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey said he approved a noise permit and the broadcast as a way to foster community solidarity during the coronavirus pandemic. Now imagine this. I'm not a Muslim. Imagine it being a Catholic, because this would be too white if I did it the other way. So let me do it the other way. Imagine a Catholic call to prayer. Okay? Imagine a Catholic call to prayer. And then people that were atheists or people that were Jewish or Muslim or Protestant, for God's sakes, went to the city council and said, like, what are we doing here? Why am I being harangued by the Catholics? What would people say? Of course not. Tell the Catholics and knock it off. Right? We'll allow the chimes that go with the clock, but that's it. Good God. Here's this is from the mayor of Minneapolis. At a time when physical distancing requires we pray apart, it's incumbent on leaders to create a sense of togetherness where we can, Frey said in a recent news release. Adhan, which is the call to prayer, provides solidarity and comfort, both of which is essential during a time of crisis. Unless you've been in part of the world where you heard that and it's associated with combat and PTSD. Quote, not thinking of us vets that had to put up with that for months, one man wrote on the mayor's Facebook page. Now we have to listen to this in our own backyard. Better hope the VA opens the doors for walk-in treatment. Another poster had, many of us who were deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan still have PTSD because of this garbage. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, so the call to prayer. But again, what if the Jews wanted to put up loudspeakers and blast it into a neighborhood, would they be allowed to do that? I don't think so. The Naval Academy will graduate the class of 2020 over a 10-day period. Much like the rest of the country, each of the U.S. military service academies has had to make unusual adaptations to longstanding traditions. Right, I mean, their graduations are, you know, the iconic picture. Well, they're not going to be able to do that. A time, and so the Air Force spaced everybody out, okay, at their graduation. The U.S. Naval Academy on Wednesday announced that midshipmen in the class of 2020 would be invited to return to Annapolis, Maryland, to take part in a commissioning event. Commissioning events will be held in the yard for 5 separate groups over a 10-day period. Spokeswoman Commander Elena Garris told Navy Times. Each group would consist of about 210 midshipmen who will be on campus for a 2-day period, the first of which will begin on May 11th. So there's the Navy's answer. The Navy's struggling, man. I will say this. When the Navy suggests that Captain Crozier be reinstated, and the Secretary of Defense says no, and the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff says I want a full investigation, that's essentially a vote of no confidence on the Chief of Naval Operations. That's what that was. Not even thinly disguised. All right, from another, more military stories. Slowed increase of DOD coronavirus cases hint at a flattening curve. and this is inside the DOD, the Defense Department's rate of new COVID-19 cases has slowed to its lowest pace since the beginning of the month as diagnosis in non-service members begin to diminish. The latest data shows that 106 people tested positive on Tuesday. That's DOD-wide, right? Right. DOD-wide, 106 people, following 80 on Monday. How many people had to clap on Tuesday? More than 106, I would think. Yeah. How many people tested positive around the world for gonorrhea? So, anyway. So, you got that going for you. Now, remember when I said, you know, when all those, I read the story about the attack on al-Assad by Iran, right? That it was more justification for the position that they really weren't serious about hitting anything, right? They gave us advance warning. And the article is entitled, I only had several hours to prepare for the attack, right? And I try not to be disrespectful about all that, but it was comical. And anyway, but the story is about an Air Force officer who had only several hours to pray to God and then begin to decide who was strong enough to stay and who couldn't stay, put the people who just weren't capable of undergoing this kind of an attack on a truck and set them someplace else. I'm not sure where. Or a plane and sent them someplace else. And then she got inside of a bunker with a bunch of people and they left the base security people outside. So anyway, I said, look, when people start going and they're diagnosed with, you know, concussions and then people start talking, right? And I find out Lynch went, right? And he had a headache and then the conversation goes, well, he's probably going to get a Purple Heart for it. And I said, what? Oh, well, shit, then I'll go complain that I had a headache too. All right, so remember that? I don't know, it was a few months ago. All right, I said, and if you don't believe that, you don't know. Headline, troops to receive Purple Hearts for injuries during Iranian missile barrage at al-Assad Air Base. There will be Purple Hearts awarded to troops injured during the January 8th missile barrage. In the weeks following the attack, 110 troops were eventually diagnosed with mild traumatic brain injuries. It's unclear how many troops will receive Purple Hearts, the defense official told Military Times, and that the medal award packets are still going through the approval process. Right. So there you go. I don't want to say I told you. Next headline. Many field hospitals went largely unused, will be shut down. Again, what was this? It was the panic. Governor Cuomo, it's all coming to your city. The Chicken Little. I need 30,000 respirators. I use 6. And so, I mean, at some point it gets embarrassing. Slow is pro, bro. Slow is pro. Right? The hysteria that the public health people always come to you with, if you look at past events, it never turns out that way. Right? This is from New York. Gleaming new tent hospitals sit empty on two suburban New York college campuses, never having treated a single coronavirus patient. Convention centers that were turned into temporary hospitals in other cities went mostly unused. And a Navy hospital ship that offered to help in Manhattan is soon to depart. Yep. So that's in the news. There's a story called Vietnam in the Modern Memory that I wasn't able to kind of that. So I But we're going to talk about Vietnam here in a minute. So let me get to the top five stories in early bird. Top story, number one, acting SecNav orders reinvestigation of carrier Roosevelt COVID-19 outbreak. So this is a vote of no confidence. Okay. And without the DOD coming out and saying it. So it'll be interesting to see what the Secretary of Defense has to say about all this. I will be stunned. I'll be absolutely stunned if that captain goes back to that ship. I cannot fathom it. I can't. And if he doesn't go back to that ship, this chief of naval operations ought to offer his resignation. Right? It's a vote of absolutely no confidence. Number two, Pentagon announces Defense Production Act to boost coronavirus testing swab production. Right? So that's the latest thing. Right? That's the latest thing. And again, to me, read about Sweden's approach to coronavirus. Okay? And read about that. It's interesting stuff. Number three, many field hospitals went largely unused, will be shut down. Number four, Roosevelt sailors begin moving out of quarantine back on board their aircraft carrier. So good for them. Number five, and congratulations to the Marines of the 3rd Law Enforcement Battalion, soon to be deactivated, but they were on Guam, and they supported the sailors on the Roosevelt. So well done, boys and girls. Number five, new Air Force One just racked up its first cost overrun. Nice. And, yeah, there's back-to-back stories. Chinese carrier sails between Okinawa Islands for a second time, right? And then USS Bunker Hill sails through the Spratly Islands to contest China's maritime claim. Now, the reaction, though, is when the Chinese carrier sails by, right, they get the finger or people wave to them, right? And then when we sail by, it's an international incident. We had the unmitigated gall to violate China's bullshit claims in the South China Sea. Joke. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tim Lynch, Jeff Kinney going to join me. We have a whole host of topics we will discuss. Don't touch your dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.